Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready now to get into the Word. Because, Father, we know that the Word is our bread. It is our bread from heaven. And we have to live by it. Or should I say that we get to live by it. And, Father, I thank you for this wonderful privilege that whenever your Word concerning your will is revealed, it gives me the opportunity to join you in your will. So as we study the Word this morning and get into the precious revelation of it, may every one of us grab it and run with it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In 2 Kings chapter 4, go to verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she constrained him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, that he turned in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." And when he has called her, he stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I will dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she has no son and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he did not call her by Samson." And he did not text. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her, so the child grew. Let's stop there for a moment. Now, I think the story of the Shunammite woman had done a great, great service to me because of her example. And this is out of the Old Testament. But she had a testimony that was far greater than the raising of her son from the dead to me. And I can't wait when I get to heaven. I'm going to look her up. And I'm going to say, "Thank you so much for teaching me a great value." And we'll know what that value is in a moment. So the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? Why are you going to him today? My gosh, his son just died. And he asked her that. Is it neither the new moon nor the Sabbath? My Lord. No wonder he never initiated anything. And she said, it is well. That's what he told her husband. It is well. Can you imagine what he was thinking when he said new moon or Sabbath? What denomination do you belong to? Is it on Sunday that we have to go to the man of God? Or is it on Monday when we need to be caring for the crops? Our kid just died. I know that, but it's not a new moon or Sabbath. Thank God it wasn't in his control. Hallelujah. Now notice, she said, then she called her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. And so he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, there is the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. It is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone. For her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. And she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Boy, she was determined to stay with the man of God, wasn't she? Why? Because he gave her the word. She didn't ask for a son. He gave her one. He spoke one to her. Now Gehazi went on them, ahead of them, and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. Then Elisha came into the house. There was the child laying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hand on his hand. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. And he returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to meet him, he said, pick up your son. So she went and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. You know what I learned about this woman? There was something that was amazing about her. And I know you all picked up on it, because I've shared this with you before. She said, it is well. Her husband, I think he made it. I don't know. But he talks about a new moon or Sabbath. And it was like she just ignored him. He said, I'm on my way to meet the man of God. Why? Because the man of God gave her a word. And you know what she did? She believed in that word. She got a boy. And then through the times of stress and distress, Satan gave an opportunity for her to deny what the man of God had told her, that she would have a son. And so Satan went after the child. Why? Because God gave her that child for her obedience to the man of God. And the man of God recognized that. And he's the one that said, you'll have a son. And she bore one. But notice her soul was grieved within her. But she said, it is well. You know, Lonnie did a teaching not too long ago. For those of you that were present when he taught it, he talked about how to negate negative thoughts in your life by saying it out of your mouth. That was a just to your message. That's how you negate what comes off in your head versus what comes out of your mouth. You know, every one of us need to get a revelation. Your soul has a voice. But the problem with that soul that has a voice, that soul, you only have one soul, but you have two mind thoughts in it. You have the mind of the flesh, and then you have the mind of the spirit. And it takes a while for a person to discern or to trust in the Word of God, because simply, and not technical or deep, basically your natural mind has a voice. It's called the voice of the senses. Now, if you will, go over to Genesis chapter 3 with me. Genesis chapter 3. And let's find out where this voice of the flesh came into existence. Did you know that it was not in existence from the beginning? Because the Bible says that Adam was made alive in his soul. Made his living out through the soul. That meant that his soul did not have any death working in it. It didn't have a voice within it to say anything. The soul, the mind of the senses in his soul basically did its job through the senses, but it didn't have a voice because it couldn't see itself through the senses. It just operated out of the senses. And so the soul was made complete in Adam and Eve until they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then it says the eyes of them both were open. And then according to the Hebrew, it says their senses were opened up to a knowledge that was inferior. An inferior knowledge. And then their mind had a voice. It didn't have a voice before. It just reported what it saw. But now it had a knowledge put into it. And that was the tragedy of the fall of Adam and Eve, is the fact that he had turned his natural inheritance, his natural being over to our arch enemy, which is Satan. And he went and put within their flesh through their partaking and eating of it a sin nature that would now begin to work in them to the completion of the isolation of the man's spirit. He would lose spiritual identity, and over the course of time, he became that way. We find that in Genesis chapter 6, where he said, man has now become one with the body of his flesh. But the tragedy is their flesh had that nature at work within it. And you don't hear any teaching today. I have received no teaching other than what God had revealed to me through the Spirit, that the body contains a sin nature, not the spirit of a man. There isn't one man out in that street out there that has a sin nature in their spirit. The sin nature is in their flesh. the body of flesh. I discovered that over a process of time, and how it exists and how it lives and thrives through a being is through their natural being, not their spirit. And a lot of them know about spiritual things. You can turn TV on and find ghost stories on it. They know about spiritual, but they don't see themselves as a spiritual being, having a soul and having a spirit and just living inside of a physical being that has a death nature at work within it. Now, we were told that Adam and Eve died spiritually instantly. They did not. Spiritual death began to take place within the framework of the offspring of Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve are in heaven. They made it. You want to know why? They believed in God. They continued the fellowship of God even after their sin. God made provision to continue a fellowship with them. Matter of fact, their second-born son, Abel, believed in God. Their first-born, Cain, did not. And so as a result, Cain ended up being cursed. His ground was cursed. He was referring to his conscience. He wasn't referring to what he could produce in this world, because according to church history, Cain built cities. He became very wealthy, but he committed suicide because his burden was too hard to bear when God told him, your ground is cursed. He knew what God was saying. He knew that God would no longer be his conscience. He knew that God would no longer work in his soul. Now he was left to himself. And that's why he said, my sin is too hard for me to bear, because he knew God. He walked with God. He heard God. He talked with God. But he was the first one that sin nature was beginning to produce itself through the arm of flesh, down till you and me. It reached you and me. We were born into it. Thank God I'm born again. Are you born again? I'm born again. Hallelujah. Say it with me. I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what does that mean to me? Oh, it means so much to me. I'm beside myself to think about it. But why did I bring up the issue of the Shunammite woman? Because she learned something. She learned, she didn't have a Bible of her own, but she learned from the heritage of the Jewish nation, that when a prophet spoke, you could believe in his word. When they said something, you can believe in it, in spite of what your own thinking was. Now, this Shunammite woman, whether you realize or not, she had a soul just like you and I got. She also had two forms of thinking. She had one form of thinking that comes from the realm of the spirit, and then she had one form of thinking that comes from the realm of the flesh. And see, we're not clearly defining the soul like we should. Your soul has two mind thoughts in it. Not one, two. And your mind, when it's renewed, it is not your natural mind that's renewed. It is your spiritual mind that's renewed, and it dominates your natural mind if you grow up spiritually. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank God for that revelation. I thank God for that revelation. I thank God for that revelation, but I didn't learn it in the church. Where did I learn? I learned it on the backside of my prayer closet, praying in tongues. Praying out of my spirit, not my head. Praise God. Praying and communing with God. Hallelujah. 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 And the first thing that came out of Cain and Abel's, or Adam and Eve's mouth was, when I heard you in the garden, I feared. Who told you that you were naked? Did you know that before that, they gave the testimony that they were both naked and they didn't know it? How many of you could have somebody so spiritual, they walk into the sanctuary totally nude, and you look at them and you go, "Woo, give them some covering." You would think they're crazy. And then you talk to them and said, we didn't know we were naked. That ain't going to happen. And now all of a sudden, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, there it was. Excellent moral value. that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to be make one. She took of its fruit and ate and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. He was kind of like that Shunammite woman's husband. And then the eyes of them both were opened. And then the Hebrew, that word here, literally is referring to open to the senses, the natural eye. And the only way you're going to see from the natural eye is to take in the knowledge. Take in a knowledge. And then, as they were both open, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves, which wouldn't last them anyway. God had to give them another covering. And then God began to pronounce that they were cursed. For their sake, the ground and everything in it, the physical being, their physical man, was now cursed. And he submitted it. And then he tells Adam the tragedy of his decision. You shall return to dust. Your physical being will now die. But thank God he had a hold of them spiritually. That's one area Satan couldn't touch them, is in the realm of the spirit. Because God turned everything over to Adam in the realm of the natural. Are you following me? And his dominion was that which is from the natural. And Satan knew that if he could get his nature into man, into the physical part of man, it would destroy them spiritually. He knew that. But it'd take a process of time. Now there are people that are preaching that they died instantly, but they did not. They still had fellowship. Even their offsprings had fellowship. And literally, another one that was born to Adam and Eve was a fellow by the name of Seth. And somebody said God tried to create revival once Seth was born. Verse 26 of Genesis 4. And as for Seth, to him also his son was born. And he named him Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And literally, that's not what it says in the Hebrew. It says literally in the Hebrew, men began to call upon themselves as God. He was quoting what Lucifer told Eve. The day that you eat thereof, you will be as gods. In other words, you will be your own eternal destiny. And they knew what he was talking about because they weren't acquainted to death. They didn't even know what death was until God had come down and declared it. And then told Satan, all you're going to get out of this is dirt. And what he was saying, you can devour a man's flesh, but you can't take his spirit. He had no, the only way that Satan could have a man's spirit is if the man walking on this planet Earth refuses to go the way of the adversary. And then when he dies, his spirit would go to be with God. And that was in a place called paradise, or the upper regions of hell itself. But the thing I want to get across to you is the mind of the flesh, the mind of the senses, gained da'ath. That's what the Hebrew call an inferior knowledge. It means a knowledge that comes through the senses. And this knowledge of good and evil means that this knowledge has good in it, but it also has evil. And the Bible defines what the evil is. The evil that it has literally is what speaks against the knowledge of God. Whenever God speaks, that knowledge has an evil in it that will speak against the knowledge of God. And the good that was in it would prosper a man if he would listen to it. And there is a way of wealth through the natural mind, but listen, it is not a secure wealth. It is a deceiving thing. It is what Satan himself came up with. I know what it means to have money. I know what it means to have wealth, because money and wealth, the multitude of my merchandise, has built me up and made him prideful. And by reason of it, he destroyed himself. He wanted that same knowledge in man. to go after the things of this world and pull them away from the things of God. But I've learned something so valuable that is so true, that the soul has two mindsets. It has the mind of the spirit and it has the mind of the flesh. And you find that in Romans chapter 8. So turn over to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Your word is my meat. Your word is my bread from heaven. Hallelujah, Father. When I put your word into my spirit, then God has the preeminence. When your word is in my spirit, God has a place of power. When your word is in my spirit, you have the place of the preeminence of my life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, when you get to Romans chapter 8, it's a follow-through from Romans chapter 7, which is a follow-through from Romans chapter 6, which is a follow-through from Romans chapter 5. Now, what Adam and Eve did is they sowed us out to flesh. And then we were born into the world with no spiritual reality at all until we met Jesus. Till we met Jesus. And when you meet Jesus, guess what? Spiritual reality comes alive. You might not know it the first time you meet him, but after a while, you will get to know that. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice something. In Romans chapter 8, let's start with verse 1. There is, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. The rest of it, your translators put in there. It's not in any recorded deal. It was just translators. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! Now watch this. For what the law could not do in that it was powerless through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's where I'd learned recently that he did not die spiritually when he left his body on the cross. He did not go to the region of the damned and suffer the pains and torment of eternal damnation. Because he had no sin of his own, he went there after our sin was laid upon his physical being. That was the scapegoat. Are you following me? And it says here, he condemned sin in the flesh. And I said, well, if he died spiritually, it should have been in. And God told me, he says, no man has a nature of death in their spirit. It's just dormant. It just became one in their mind, their soul. They only see one mind there. But when you get born again, you end up with a spiritual mind called the mind of Christ. Now you have the mind of Christ. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But you have the mind of Christ. He was talking about when you get born again, you get a new mindset. You get now the identity of you as a spiritual being. Now what Jesus had to do is he had to take what one man did and condemned everybody so that he would be the same figurehead and also give every individual, not just the results of one man's transgression. Jesus switched it around and said, now the free gift is to many, because he didn't. He turned to the whole world through the cross and said, now what you have to do is if you want to live eternally with me, he says you have to get your body upon that cross and die with it, and you'll stand in the same place I stand before the devil. And I said no to the devil, and I did it for you. You can stand in front of the devil and say no to him, and you'll have to die physically. You'll have to take the crucifixion. And why? So you can resurrect to the newness of life. You can have a new mind now. And so that when the world would cause you a grief, oh, there's something on the inside of you called life and peace. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you, when we sang that amazing grace, I got news for you. We want to switch a little word here. A wretch like me, I was a wretch. I was a wretch.
But now I'm made new in Him. And I took my outer man in His place of authority and I stuck him in the ground through the cross. Hallelujah. And I do it daily. Well, how do I daily put Him on the cross? I do not listen to my natural mind anymore. When it wants to speak and it speaks against the knowledge of God, I tell it to shut its fat mouth. You have no authority over me. I am the king of my own ship because I have Jesus, the king of my heart. Hallelujah. He's in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, I don't know where it says it in the Word. Oh, really? What about Romans chapter 8? When you start going through these verses, it talks about two minds. Where is the mind of the mind of the Spirit out here someplace? In the mind of the flesh in you? No. Mind of the Spirit's in you. And the mind of flesh is in you. And that's where you have to sever between the two. You find that in the Old Testament, Proverbs 4. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The word midst there means sever. It's kind of misleading. It makes you think it's in the center. But really, the word midst is the word sever. It means keep them divided in your heart. Keep your mind on the flesh where it belongs. And keep your mind of the Spirit where it belongs. And that's why the Shunammite woman so blessed me. Because she wasn't even born again. And she knew just out of through her central being. She knew if the man of God said it, I believe it. And that is settling it for me. Why would she fall down and her soul is vexed? But it is well with me. Because she had the Word of God on it. And you and I, we had this stupid natural mind of ours saying, well, you can't do that. You've trained that before. You know what before is? It's after. After don't mean a hill of beans with us. Our hope is predicated on Him. What He did for us. You want to know the Spirit of God? Read the four Gospels. Read the four Gospels. Jesus will give you His testimony of power. Same Jesus today as it was yesterday. He didn't go to Him and say, what denomination do you belong to? What kind of unbelief you got working into you? They just said, I want to get healed. Jesus said, be healed. No, He defied the laws of the senses. And that's why people clung to Him. Jesus did not allow sin into His soul. That's why when He hung on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou? He spoke out of His humanity. What did I do? He never let sin ever enter His thinking. He'd have been in the first place of first Adam. And then they tell Him He goes to hell. Matter of fact, the guy that even said that he went and paid the supreme price for all of humanity. Everyone now is saved. Where is it? I never saw that before. Thank God I have divided my soul. I let the Word of God be my sword that comes down and separates soul and spirit. Matter of fact, in the Hebrew or in the Greek there, it says, for the Word of God is a two-mouthed sword. We hear from two mouths. It's called the mouth of the flesh and the mouth of the Spirit. And like Kalani said, what you got to do to negate the mind of the flesh is to speak the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit. And that's how you start negating things. When you brought that out, that turned me on. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, people. We need to be an example like the Shunammite woman was to the man of God. When God says, you can trust in my promises, you can sit there and talk His promise, speak His promise. We've allowed our flesh to be our Lord too long. We were bought with a price. It wasn't our outer man, it was our inner man. And I'll tell you what, everything that you know that you're out of line with, and the minute you find God's Word, it puts it in the right perspective. And right away when you go to the right perspective that the Word of God has, do you think your natural mind is going to sit there and not say anything? It's going to have immediately a voice. immediately. Romans 8, 7. And it says it's not even subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. 1 Corinthians 2, 14, same thing. The intellectual man is not subject. It's foolishness to the things of the spirit of a man. Stupid. And so the minute you're going to believe in something apart from your senses, that central mind says, hey, nutcase, don't you say you're here when you know you're not. You call people up here for prayer. Now I'm getting a witness. And the Lord said, when you get a witness, you speak it. You speak that witness to them. He says, let them believe because they're too much busy trying to communicate with their body and say, did I get my healing? Did I get my healing? It don't matter. What did you come forward for? The Shunammite woman, she was vexed in her soul. But when the man of God gave her a word, she went right to him and said, okay, word, bring me back my son. Dale, you had things going on in her, and I laid hands on her, and I knew she was going to be fine. And finally she said, well, I'm concerned. I got spots on, was it your liver? I got spots on my liver. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this liver to be healed. And I got a witness, and I looked at her, and I said, you know what, Dale? When you go to that doctor, they're going to go and recheck you, and they ain't going to be there. And she says, I believe that. And she went to her doctor and called Tammy. Tammy, 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 Tammy. That's the way we should be when you get prayed for. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God hasn't given you over to your natural mind to obey it, but obey your spiritual promises. That's what belongs to you. Glory to God. That's what belongs to you. If Jesus said, I will, He meant it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in closing, I got to. Notice what he says in Romans 7, verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He even mentioned in verse 25, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And if you want to go forward, he says that he condemned the sinful sin in the flesh on account of He condemned it in the flesh on account of the flesh having a sin nature in it. When you go backwards, you go to Romans 7, verse 20. It says, sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 17, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh. You go up to verse 13, it talks about it again. Verse 8, it talks about it again. Verse 5, it talks about it again. In verse 6, there's 1, 2, 3 places in verse 6 that it talks about a law of sin and death that works within my members because that nature was imparted to us. But He's given us a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so that's why He come down and said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So if you want healing, if you want to be set free, if you want to succeed in life, if you want to do anything that God has promised you of life and peace, then you got to start paying attention to your spirit and start doing less attention to your natural thinking. I'll never forget Jerry, Big Jerry. He comes and visits on Sunday night. His wife and him go to another church, which is fine. He was sitting there one night, preaching on the message of faith. And Jerry had these epileptic seizures. You guys remember him. And he'd go out, and I was preaching one night, got under the anointing of God, preaching away. And Jerry says, wait a minute, right in front of my message. interrupts me. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that I don't have to have seizures? And I said, no, I didn't tell you that. The Word of God says you don't. He says, I ain't going to have another one. He never had another one. Glory to God. He got a revelation. His mind was telling him one thing, but the Word of God said another. Glory to God. No wonder Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? Some say thou art Elijah, some Elijah, and Peter says, hey, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus goes, Peter, nobody revealed that to you but my Father, which is in heaven. And I like what Jesus said afterwards. He said, upon the rock of revelation knowledge. Upon the rock of revelation knowledge. The rock of revelation. Who do you think the rock is? His name, Jesus. He's our rock that we're founded on. And he says, upon that, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not be able to overcome that church. So Jesus says, now, for your all information, I got to go and be killed. But I'll come back. I'll rise a third day. And blessed Peter, the one who came out with a revelation that Jesus was going to build his church on that rock. Pity thyself, Lord. You don't know what you're saying. Jesus turned around and didn't even give Peter credit for that one. He was too embarrassed. He said, get behind me, Satan. He knew where that voice was coming from. We all ought to get heads up. How many of you said, I'm going on a diet? I bet you every one of you had a voice with that one. All you had to do is go in and smell the kitchen. And that voice got big. And if you just didn't outright take to the goodies, then you had a reasoning begin to work in you why you could have the goodie now, because you will succeed in the future. Your body is telling you, I will do anything for that piece of apple pie. I will do anything for that piece of apple pie. Tell me you're the one that made the apple pie. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Then after so many apple pies, the bubble ends up in the middle. But at least you're called level. It's the mind of the flesh. It's the mind of the flesh. And we have to learn to shut that mouth. So if you will look down to verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. And in the Greek, this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tenses that it's spoken in. And it means that when the mind of the Spirit speaks, the mind of the flesh, contemporaneous action, right along with it, at the same time, it has a voice against that. Boy, if we could get the revelation of that. Well, we've gone beyond the seat. So everybody stand up. Remember, people, a man is a man. But it's the Word of God that you're accountable to. Not a man, but a Word. The Word of God. And if the man brings forth the Word, it's the Word. Amen. That's where we're all coming from. Yeah, it isn't what a man says, is what the Word says that a man carries. Like Harold said, it's the Word. It's the Word. If there's anybody here this morning that would like to give their heart and life to Jesus, would like to change from being a victim to being a champion, a conqueror,
It will take a minute and just say, if you're sitting in your seat and you know you need to come forward for salvation, feel free to do that right now. Anyone? I don't want this service to go without somebody giving somebody the opportunity to come forward. You know, Pastor Virgie, she had those people that got saved and water baptized. How many of you know you guys bear the fruit of that? Yep. You guys know that. If you give, that fruit is added to your account. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as everyone leaves here today, that there was something that they got that is important to them. To walk in victory. Amen. Well, God bless you all.